Well, everybody, my name is Mike Guerin. I'm your District 4 Carroll County Commissioner. And thanks for joining me on my podcast, which is actually more of a podcast, I guess. This time it's a video, so we're sort of in uncharted territory. But I am honored, very honored to have with me today Carroll County State's Attorney, Haven Shoemaker.
Thanks for having me, Commissioner. Good to be on.
Welcome, sir. Thank you very much for coming. One of the reasons I wanted to chat with you, obviously there are enough things going on at the Carroll County State's Attorney's Office to keep us busy for hours, and it's not slowing down, is it?
No, it really isn't. Crime doesn't take a holiday, so yeah.
And of course, we know that the state doesn't make things any easier sometimes as well.
So. No, not at all. They hamstring us to the extent they can, but we muddle through.
And you and your staff, and of course the sheriff's office, I mean, we've got the best in the state, and we're so appreciative of that. So interestingly, a few months back, you announced that you were not going to be running for Carroll County State's attorney again at the end of this term, which ends in December of 2026. We've known each other for several years now, and I immediately thought to myself, I've got to talk to Haven, because the term public service is overused in today's society. But in your case, I think that your tenure here in the county and what you've done and the positions you filled, I think it's just extraordinary. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit. You started in 1997 on the Hampstead Town Council.
Yeah, I did 6 years in that job.
And then you decided that wasn't enough headache, so you became
mayor. I was mayor for eight. Until I got elected county commissioner, and that was in 2010 when the county went to five commissioners by district. So I was part of that first board that was elected by district. So, and 4 years of that was plenty.
But then you did what?
Well, then the good people of Carroll County sent me to Annapolis, and I served in the House of Delegates for 8 years, and that was plenty of that, and I've got the gray hair to prove it. So then as I was going out the door in Annapolis, Judge DeLeonardo, who had been the state's attorney, had been appointed judge, so that presented an opportunity for me to give back in an entirely different role. So I decided to run for state's attorney.
So at the end of your term here, that'll be, if my math is right, 30 years
yes.
of service to Carroll County, Maryland.
Right.
This is not, I've got a question for it. It's not a rhetorical question. It's just an honest question. And that is, why? Why would you, just the intense desire to serve this county the way you have? Because I can attest to the fact that it's not always easy. And it can be a bit of a headache. So what drove you year after year to come back for the people of Carroll County?
Well, you know, my dad taught me that everybody should give back to the extent that they have the ability to do so. And I thought through elected office that I could do that for Carroll County. And really, you know, being an elected official in Carroll County is not that hard. It's not that hard. As long as you do a couple things. One is, I think you got to have a little bit of common sense. You know, good old-fashioned horse sense. And I think whenever you're confronted with an issue, if you ask yourself, what would the average Carroll Countyan think about this issue? And channel your inner Carroll Countyan and act accordingly. I think that the folks, your constituents will reward you for that. And, you know, that's kind of been my credo. That's how I've handled politics all these years, or at least I've tried to.
A particular role, starting at town council and now up to Carroll County State's Attorney, has any of those positions been particularly harder than another?
The job I have now is probably the toughest job that I've had. I manage an office of 56 people, so that's 56 different personalities. And instilling in them the overall mission, as I see it, that, we need to work collaboratively with law enforcement to get the bad guys off the street. That has probably been the toughest job. And they get that. They understand that completely, and they've completely bought in. But, dealing with personnel and budgetary issues and things of that nature, when you have that many different personalities, it's been challenging. But having said that, though, it's also the best job I've ever had.
That was going to be my follow-on question.
Yes. I feel that in this role, I'm able to come to work every day. And by the way, my commute's only 8 miles from Hampstead. So that's great, as opposed to going to Annapolis and beating my head against a wall like I did for 90 days, over 8 years, 90 days a year over 8 years. I only have to drive 8 miles, and I can see palpable results. I can see that we are making a difference in the community by working with law enforcement to do as I indicated, my perception of our mission, and that's to get the bad guys off the street. And we do it every day. So that's rewarding to me.
So it's fair to say that that's, again, it's the reward for your position that you're in now is great. Do you feel as though, is it fair to try to assess all the different positions you've had and when it comes to dealing with people? I mean, did you feel as though being a mayor, being a town councilman, did you be a county commissioner, that afforded you the most opportunity to work with people in the community, or is it fair to say that that's really never stopped?
No, I think that's been consistent throughout. I did like the mayor's job when I was mayor of Hampstead for those 8 years. I could pick up the phone and call my town manager and say, I'd like this thing done, that thing done, the other thing done. And you know what? It got done. I didn't have to build a consensus with anybody. I didn't have to get two other folks to go along with me like I did when I was a county commissioner. I didn't need 71 to go along with me like I did in the House of Delegates. So it was a lot easier. That's probably another reason why I like being state's attorney. Because, in this job, I'm one of one, working with 56 outstanding folks. But, ultimately, the buck stops with me. And at the end of the day, I get to make the call. So I kind of like that.
I'm going to embarrass you a little bit. But on that topic, it is well known within the county, you have mentored quite a lot of people, just from who you are and the positions you've had and the way you conduct yourself. It's fair to say that you're certainly doing that as well right now in the state's attorney's office. But what does it take to be an effective mentor to people? Because you have quite a lot of folks in this county who will give you a phone call and ask you what you think, and I am one of them.
Well, I mean, I guess, when you've been around as long as I have, you accumulate certain experiences that, you can draw upon when folks pick your brain about a topic. So, I draw on the experiences, and I think the biggest thing that I try to use is just what I alluded to a while ago, some common sense. Mm-hmm. Folks in Carroll County are common sense people. And usually there are common sense solutions to the problems that they have. So as long as you don't check your common sense at the door, you'll probably come up with the right result.
The as you well know, probably maybe more than anybody, and at least it's my assessment, times are getting a little tough for good old Carroll County. You're well aware of that, whether it's federal legislation, certainly state legislation, the things that Annapolis does, whether it's criminal justice or just fees, taxes, and anything of the sort.
The whole power line issue.
Solar panels. I mean, you name it. Yeah. It's coming pretty quickly. And there really hasn't been much downtime for this particular board because of those things. What are your thoughts on Carroll County moving forward? I mean, that's sort of a real general question, but I guess if I could ask, what are some of your biggest concerns for Carroll County going forward? It is the county that you love.
That's a fact. I see a continued effort from Annapolis to usurp local control. And I think that is very concerning. I wish that instead of those folks fixating on the way we do business out here, that they would, take a look at the way we do business and emulate that. But I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. Particularly on the, Carroll County is always a topic of conversation down there during their 90 days. They don't like the way our schools do business. They don't like policies on, books and reviewing books to make sure they're appropriate for school-age children and things of that nature. I wish that they would ultimately look at the results that are produced by our students here. And maybe they would rethink that. Maybe they would rethink that approach that what we do out here is so awful.
And I think what's most, and this is right in your wheelhouse, but what's most disturbing are the tangible failures of the criminal justice system in our state and the leniency of laws. And you're seeing that firsthand now. And those are actual tangible things you can point to. I'm never really surprised at what I see, but I'm still shocked sometimes. Have you been surprised so far in your current tenure as Carroll County State's Attorney, some of the things coming down the pike from Annapolis and how quite literally, in my view, they simply they're not designed to fight crime. They're not designed to keep people safe.
No, I'm not real surprised because when I got down there to Annapolis in the House of Delegates in 2015, I noticed right away that the Maryland General Assembly was bending over backwards to coddle criminals. And there was very little consideration or regard for the victims of crime or public safety generally. So they would do things like reduce or eliminate mandatory minimum sentences, decriminalize this activity or the other, things of that nature. And that's continued for, it's been 10 years now. That's continued throughout the last decade. Just when I thought that maybe things were going to get a little better, because after they passed that disastrous Juvenile Justice Reform Act my last year down there in 2022, they passed some modifications to that in this past session. Not this past session, session before, that went into effect on November 1st. They made a few tweaks around the edges and made things a little better for prosecutors in juvenile cases. However, this session, they doubled down and passed that disastrous Second Look Act, which basically means if you've served 20 years of a sentence. And by the way, if you're serving 20 years in the state of Maryland of active incarceration, you've done some pretty heavy-duty stuff, some really bad stuff. Mm. But after you've served 20 years, you're going to have the opportunity to have the court take a second look at the sentence that, well, that was imposed to, you know, with an eye towards springing these, you know, egregious offenders of the law. And all that's going to do is like re-victimize the victims of crime because they're going to have to keep showing up. And I think you get like three bites at the apple. You get to keep filing these things. So these victims are going to have to get gathered up and go back into court and relive, you know, their victimization over and over again. And that was really disconcerting to me. And the governor, you know, not only did he smile broadly when he signed that into law, but, you know, he kind of took a victory lap, and I thought that was very disappointing as well.
In poor taste.
Yes, I thought so.
I mean, as the county's chief prosecutor, how frustrating then is it to look, again, I mentioned the word tangible earlier, you can look at other jurisdictions within this country who have adopted stronger laws against criminals, and it works out, it's going pretty good.
Yes.
So, I mean, how frustrating then is it to see this happening here? Because it doesn't have to happen.
No, it doesn't have to happen. It's a mindset that the majority of the legislators have, that we want to be California on the Chesapeake. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem. I don't know. I mean, if you look at the polling, whether it's Gonzalez or any of the polling that's done statewide, it'll show that Black people, white people, Republicans, Democrats, pretty much everybody agrees that that the state of Maryland is entirely too soft on crime. And yet every session, they double down. So I don't understand it. There's a disconnect there that I guess until people rise up and start voting these people out, I guess it's going to continue.
Yeah, you mentioned the key word. It's all about elections, isn't it?
Yes. Somebody said that they have consequences, and they absolutely do.
They certainly do. Switching gears a little bit, looking ahead for the next year and a half, roughly year and a half, I know it's going to be a busy time, and you're not done yet.
No, I've got 18 months to go.
But was the decision, and I'm not going to ask you what your plans are and what's next, but was it a hard decision, an easy decision? You just felt like maybe it was time?
Well, look, you know, When my term's up, I'll be a couple weeks shy of my 62nd birthday. So that seems like a good time to go. Another thing is, you know, I promised my wife, who was long suffering, that I would, you know, run for state's attorney with her blessing and do the best job I possibly could for 4 years and then pull a ripcord. So I made that promise to her, and I'm going to keep it.
Promise made, promise kept.
Right. Right.
You and I have a couple things in common. One of them will be that we've both served as a commissioner, but we also have an affinity for all things North Carolina.
I've got kids
in school down there, and I went to college down there, and I was stationed down there, and I love it, and I've got a lot of friends out in Western North Carolina. So I want to ask you this question. So let's say a couple of years from now, you're just minding your own business, where you live. Two-part question. First part is, would you ever consider getting involved again in politics, in becoming an elected official?
What was the other part of the question?
Okay, we'll pass on that. I think I might have just gotten in trouble there.
My plan is to go back to North Carolina, which is where my family's from. My wife and I have a place on a mountain that my family's lived on almost 200 years. It's a little county of 27,000 people. I'm related to about half of it. A couple of those relatives have suggested that I come back there and run for county commissioner. And my wife has shot them all kinds of dirty looks about that. So that's probably not in the cards.
I've got a
honey-do list that I've been compiling. So I've got a lot of projects. And, I've thought about, if I get incredibly bored, I've thought about maybe doing some substitute teaching.
Wow, that could be your toughest job ever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it would be. So I might look into that.
Fair enough. And we'll leave it at that. We'll leave the future plans at that. And I do love that area. And I've got a lot of friends in Boone. And I go there as often as I can in some other places.
Place.
When I was in college in Charlotte, I met a lot of guys out in Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
Couldn't spend enough time with them. It was just so terrific. Well, I guess this is... this is my final question. No more hard questions that might get you in trouble with the higher ups. So you are anywhere in a couple of years. You could, maybe it's North Carolina. Maybe you're coming back up to Carroll County because we need your help on something. But either way, somebody stops you and they ask you, well, what did you do? What did you do? What was your career? Because, you know, people love to ask that question.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that's an easy answer for you or not, but let's say somebody does that. They come and say, you know, hey, Haven, what did you do up north? What did you do? I mean, what do you tell them? You've got 30 years of different positions.
34 years practicing law.
34 years practicing law.
Yeah.
How do you answer that question?
Speaking of that, I've got files, all kinds of files from the practice of law. And at last count, I opened like over 8,000 files in 28 years. So, yeah, when I was practicing law, I kind of catered to like a working class, middle class group of clients and kind of carved out a niche for myself. I think that's because they were like underserved.
Yes.
Yeah. The law firms over here in Westminster were a little too high dollar for them. So, yeah, they came to me. I think that's part of that overall philosophy that I've tried to live by, is to try to help people where they are. And I guess if somebody asked me the question, you know, what did you do? I think I'll try to say, I did the best I could to try to give back to the community.
Well, you certainly have, and you certainly are, and you continue to do that every day.
Thank you.
And I know this won't be our last discussion before next year, but I really want to thank you for coming over and spending just a couple minutes with me.
Oh,
and
sure.
Maybe
thanks
I can
for having me. Thanks for having me. It's an honor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.